Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Send me videos of all the kids in assembly screaming my name. That fills me with absolute love and pride. Like, I mean, like nothing else. And I want to inspire them. I'm just a normal boy from Aldi Town. Like.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci, la France. Merci, les baguettes. Merci, les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Well, I would prefer Henry Pollock to not throw away the ball at the last minute against England, for sure, but...
I think that sets us up very nicely for this podcast. If you can't tell what it's going to be about, it is rugby focused. I think that's how the nation were feeling on Saturday night.
Couldn't have done anything else this week.
This is Word on the Street, the podcast where we go out and we find people's opinions on sporting topics and we bring it back into the studio. We're missing Rachel this week, but I am here with Eve, who watched the Six Nations.
I did. It was my first kind of Super Saturday, where I watched the Ireland match. I didn't watch, no offence to Italy or Wales, but I skipped that one.
Skipped that one, yeah.
And then watched, in a pub, England-France. And genuinely, there was a bunch of French lads behind us in the pub. The atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah.
Like I had a great time. I had a very intense time. I had a very quiet Sunday then after. A
few too many pints.
I
was away skiing and we found this pub that I'm still not sure if it was... It was called Scotland Yard.
Oh.
But the logo was of a tube station, which gave me English vibes. Mm. But then underneath it said Irish pub. So it was just covering all its bases.
You should have ordered a French beer in there and like said thank you in Welsh or something.
Yeah, I couldn't quite go for the Guinness. But so we were in there and similarly, I had to go eat my dinner during the Italy-Wales game.
Yes.
And then came back for England-France and was surrounded by English people on their skiing holiday. So I was given out to them for being so useless.
Well, see, I have a question here. So I was in a pub on Drury Street, so in the heart of Dublin. It was the Saturday, so I think because Paddy's Day was a Tuesday this year, like people were out celebrating, so there was a lot of Irish people around.
Mm.
Obviously a big group of French lads in the pub. And I felt like we should all have been supporting England, surely, because if England had bet France,
we
would have won the whole tournament.
Mm.
And I said this and people looked at me like I was crazy. You can't just go and support England. You know, we like the French rugby team. We support whoever England are against. And I was like, we could win the whole thing. I understand.
I was supporting England.
So I was kind of cheering whoever scored, like any try.
Just trying to be as neutral as possible.
I was cheering for anything that happened in that game because it was a mad game.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
I feel like I've been slightly spoiled for my first Super Saturday.
Your first Six Nations in general?
Pretty much. The first one I've paid a lot of attention to. So, every pundit we've had on Off the Ball this week has kind of been saying, what an incredible Six Nations. Can you remember? It's been so long since the last Six Nations that was this good. And I'm like, wow, have I been spoiled? So I'd never watch again.
Yes, I think you have. And we were out on the street today chatting to people and they said exactly that this has been the best tournament that they can remember. So did you watch the Six Nations tournament and what did you think of it this year?
I did and I thought it was possibly the best one I've ever seen, actually. It was really, really high quality this year. Like, I think virtually all the matches were at least competitive. I mean, the level as well, like just I feel like the level in general has gone up, but also the teams aren't as far apart as they used to be. Even like the lowest, right, like Wales were a lot better this year. Italy are a real contender now. So it's a close competition.
I think he makes a great point that that's what really elevated the tournament as a whole this year, is that you had no idea who was going to win, or everything you thought you knew going into a game was ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
And the exact opposite came out. I have a WhatsApp group that we do every year with my family where my brother organises it, and we basically put £5 in each, and then you send in your predictions, your score predictions for each game, each round, and then he has some mathematical Excel thing where he basically works out who gets the closest on each side and blah blah blah, and then you have a winner. And all of my predictions were so far off.
But that's great.
Yes. You know. Well, yeah, great for the tournament. Not great for my bank account.
Like, we had a fantasy football league, some of us in the office, and or not fantasy football, fantasy rugby, and I came dead last.
Did you even fill that out?
I filled it out. I put in some players, but I was kind of going on...
I won that, by the way.
Oh, did you? I didn't look at the final results. I just know that I came last.
I won.
Well, congratulations.
I'd hope so, as a rugby reporter.
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad. I was judging you if you didn't.
Yeah, fair.
But I was kind of looking at the, okay, who are the best players on every team and trying to afford as many of them as I can. But then crazy stuff happened, like Italy beating England or even Ireland losing to France and then winning all the rest. Mm. You know, it's, I think it was at Jim we were chatting to there, who said it's that competitive, no one knows what can happen, anything can happen, that makes it such a good tournament.
Yeah, let's listen to Jim, because as well as, I've forgotten the name of the first guy who we were chatting to.
Oh, sorry, that was John. I like to ask everyone's names. I feel pretty bad if I don't ask their names.
Sorry, today we had John, Jim and Sean.
Yeah, so great inventive parenting that was happening a few years ago.
I actually can't remember what I was going to say, so just play Jim. Was it a good Six Nations?
Brilliant.
Why?
Because you never knew what was happening from match to match. So it went from us losing the first match, expecting to get hockeyed in all the future matches, to us coming within a hair's breadth of actually winning the thing. So, brilliant.
Do you reckon people would have kept watching if we had, say, lost the first three?
Yeah. Oh, rugby's great. You're like, you never know what rugby. Like, even if you lose, it's such a good game to watch. So I would have watched them. If we got hockeyed every time, I still would have watched it, you know. But I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah, me too. People are saying, like you said, that it was one of the best tournaments ever, even though we didn't win. Mm-hmm. How does that weigh up, do you reckon? Would it have been better if it wasn't as good of a tournament, but Ireland had dominated and won a Grand Slam?
No, the way it worked out was perfect, you know. So you like the drama, you know, not knowing what's going to happen from match to match. So the fact that we lost the first one sort of added to the spice of the whole thing, I think. So and the fact that England got beaten so often, that was great. And the fact that Italy did so well was brilliant. The fact that France got beaten, even if we'd lost to Scotland, to be honest with you, if we're going to lose to anybody, I wouldn't mind losing to Scotland, you know. But I thought it was great. I just really enjoyed it.
I think that's what kind of fascinates me most, is like diehard rugby fans like Jim, who are saying that this was a better tournament nearly because Ireland didn't win. You know, that the quality of the rugby made for such a good spectacle. And at the same time, Ireland as a team did so well, like Triple Crown.
Second place.
What that does financially is great for the IRFU, and what that does leading up to a World Cup near next year is great. That it feels like, as a country, everyone's very happy, despite the fact that before, I would kind of say, surely the be-all and end-all is winning and coming first. And I suppose that would be what I would have was going into, with my attitude going into the final day, where when Henry Pollock kind of screwed us slightly.
It wasn't just Pollock.
I quite like Pollock.
I do too. Yeah.
But when that happened, I just remember thinking, oh, I was like that Bundiaki clip. I was going, fuck, Jen, annoying. But then everyone within 5 minutes was like, we had great Six Nations, actually.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
I don't know. It definitely does puzzle me in that I was disappointed more in England's absolute useless game management for their final 2 minutes. And I was disappointed that we didn't win, but I wasn't overly disappointed. As you said, I got over it. But it does puzzle me that everyone seems to be saying, like Jim said, that it was almost better because we lost the first one, and then we built as we went on, and we built to this final crescendo of like an amazing performance against Scotland, which is true. But ultimately, would it not have been amazing if we had five brilliant performances?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's just unrealistic. I'm not too sure. But if we had, you know, five incredible Irish performances and won a Grand Slam and won the Six Nations, surely that would have been better.
I feel like everything is kind of being taken within its context, which is very mature. It's a very mature view of all these Irish rugby fans. Kind of looking at where the squad is going to, like just before a World Cup year, looking at, okay, we've had X amount of injuries. How are we handling that? How is Andy Farrell choosing his squad? And I think by the end of it, what was kind of nice for me to see was that by the end of it, people were enjoying watching the rugby team and talking about it. Whereas at the beginning, like after that France game, so doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And the conversations around the squad were so kind of negative and pessimistic.
I suppose it also, to be fair, comes off the back of a year, 2 years of poor performances or lesser excitement around the team and worry around a team.
Yes.
That was only, you know, 18 months, sorry, away from a World Cup. So you're right. I kind of forgot about that context of last year coming third, really disappointing. A November series.
That wasn't too inspiring.
No, very, very worrying as well with performances against South Africa and that kind of thing. And then to come out of that a little bit and to be able to be like, oh my God, we are still up there with some of the best teams in the world.
It's almost like there was kind of like, just take a breath.
Yeah.
Like you release some of the pressure.
A weight off the shoulders.
Exactly. That maybe we can play in kind of the upcoming games with a bit more freedom or a bit more confidence.
Yeah, I think belief is right. I think we believe in Andy Farrell and we believe in the Irish rugby team again. Which they said throughout, you know, every time you spoke to them, they were like, we have that belief. We know we're capable of this. And it was kind of like,
And then that took an performance. You're like, oh, actually, you guys do. Okay, cool. Yeah, I believe you now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
But that was kind of leading into this whole other conversation that we were kind of having in the office a little bit about, what does it mean winning? And it's different in rugby because you can lose the Six Nations, but you can still win the Triple Crown.
Mm.
You know, you can have these big moments like the game winning against England at Twickenham and yet still have the kind of bruise of losing to France in Paris. And we were sort of asking people and chatting amongst ourselves, what's the value of a big moment?
Mm.
Like for me, the big moment for Ireland of the Six Nations was winning at Twickenham. And I feel like that's what people are going to remember in 5 years' time when someone kind of thinks back to this Six Nations.
Yeah. I would agree. And that peaked in the viewership numbers as well, that England game. But I think that was because it's England.
Yeah, that's always gonna kind of happen.
But I thought that was interesting as well. I would have presumed looking at viewership that, you know, we lost the first game. Okay, it would have dropped after that. I suppose maybe, yeah. And then it would have gradually built after England. But in fact, it dropped off again.
I suppose we
played Wales, who people wouldn't have been too excited about. And then the Super Saturday came in and it was very unlikely that England were going to beat France, even though they came very close
in
the end.
Close.
But building into it, people probably didn't think they would have. So
no, yeah,
tuned in less. But yeah, we also asked, I think, John Jim or Sean. Again, which was more important, kind of winning a trophy or the excitement of the tournament? It feels like that's the general sentiment that everyone's saying it was one of the best ones ever, but we didn't win. If it had been less competitive, but we had won, would that have been better?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like also, like even the year that Wales won a couple of years ago, I was, you know, happy for them. I mean, as long as it's kind of a good story, it still makes the competition enjoyable, I think. So it doesn't have to be us necessarily every time. Like, now that I think of it, I think the time that Ireland were super dominant and we were kind of expected to win most of our matches, it kind of made it a little bit boring almost in some ways. So
that's very interesting, isn't it? That kind of answers my question of would you prefer for Ireland to win all five with great performances and a Grand Slam?
Mm.
And I think the general answer is no.
I think that's basically what we got from everybody we chatted to today, is that they prefer exciting rugby, even if it means Ireland aren't winning all the time. And it's a great position to be in, to say we were dominant for so long. It's nice to have some kind of chaos where we're maybe still performing great, but not always winning.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. And I don't really have a concluding answer.
It's something that's very foreign to me from my own sporting experiences. Like, we haven't had a What's Like This in a while where I'm just chatting about random things. So
here comes Spurs
hovering above the relegation zone. We haven't won a Premier League.
I haven't actually wanted to talk to you about it.
No, it's okay. We haven't won a Premier League game all year. Okay. It is March 19th. So it's so funny to hear people saying, oh, it got boring us winning all the time.
Yeah.
It's better to have a tournament. I would kill for one Premier League win at this moment in time. So I fully get the sentiment of for so long, Ireland were kind of performing so well in the Six Nations, but maybe it became a bit predictable. Whereas the chaos and the kind of unpredictability of this year just made for some, just for some great moments. I can appreciate that.
It was also interesting listening to Brian O'Driscoll yesterday, where he said it's almost an Irish cultural thing that we don't want to believe that it could possibly be going that well. We don't want to believe that Ireland could stay up in the top three, four teams in the world for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And that they're, like, he was talking about how when, back when he played, obviously, Ireland weren't nearly as good and you might win a little bit and then be knocked right back down. And he said, you know, there's scar tissue living in him from that and probably in fans.
Yeah, and I think, I feel like it's not there in some of the younger players.
Well, that's what he said, that this squad have zero scar tissue.
Yeah,
they don't care that the fans expect them to lose or are worried about their performances. They have complete belief in that they are one of the best teams in the world.
And I think that definitely came across in the performances that we saw. That's an interesting perspective on it. I like the idea that somebody who has been so central to the Irish rugby team for so long, still watching it kind of between my fingers, scared.
Just thinking, I've seen this before.
Yeah, exactly. I know how this could end.
But yeah, speaking of moments, there was one of the guys we chatted to.
This was Jim. I know that. This is Jim.
He spoke about how moments kind of trump everything, and specifically drop goals.
Actually, the only one that I really remember is Johnny Wilkinson's drop goal. That's the only thing I remember, if you remember them. But actually, Johnny Sexton's drop goal. Yeah. Kieran Foley's drop goal. You know, that's actually drop goals. They're memorable. So it's a, sorry, I can't even remember the question.
I was wondering, that was my question. Like, do you remember moments over trophies?
Okay, yeah, I remember drop goals.
Thank you.
I really liked him. I feel like he was just such a rugby fan. He just loved rugby.
Yes.
And he loved the Six Nations.
Because that's the thing. I feel like I was coming into this episode from a perspective of, I want to know what Ireland fans are thinking about Ireland's Six Nations. And the more people we talked to on the streets of Dublin, like Irish rugby fans, were rugby fans nearly first. They were like, the quality that we saw was fantastic. Yeah. The entertainment was brilliant. You know, for people who love the sport so much, this is what matters most.
That's very interesting. Would that be the same across other sports, do you think? If Spurs were losing all the time, now it's a bad example because they're not playing well.
You don't need to say
well.
If, when, as concurrent, is it happening as we speak?
But if they were playing well and the football was really exciting, would it be less painful?
You have used the best club as an example for that, because Tottenham's motto is kind of to dare is to do, and there's this big quote from one of the great managers, Bill Nicholson, who said, "The game is about glory. It's better to fail aiming high than to succeed aiming low," which I think is something that Tottenham teams of the past really built, like kind of bought into, and they played exciting football and we really got near winning things and we just kind of fell short at the last hurdle. And then now it's like, well, we're trying to be very pragmatic, and then it kind of fell off a cliff and we're doing very badly. So it's, I would prefer to, yes, win a few games, but to play some, I want to be entertained. The football is so boring sometimes. Mm. Like that's what people are saying about the Premier League in general this season. So many goals coming from set pieces, from corners, so many kind of, the game is so stoppy-starty, you're taking long throws and VAR is slowing it down. That when you're watching the Champions League games, as was happening last night, the English teams are getting trounced by the Spanish teams and the German teams and the teams from the continent, who are playing far more fluid and exciting football than in the Premier League. And I feel like people more and more, you know, it's so expensive to go to football matches nowadays in the UK. It's so expensive to go to rugby matches for the Six Nations. It's so expensive if you want to watch sport on the TV. You know, you need 5 different channels to try and watch between Sky and TNT and blah, blah, blah and everything. That if you're dedicating all this time and you're spending so much money, you want to watch something that's exciting and entertaining. And I feel like the Six Nations provided that this year.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's rugby's aim in general at the moment too. Be more exciting.
Yeah.
Good for the game.
To try and get people. I mean, I definitely will be watching the Six Nations next year. Obviously, I work here, so I feel like you need to pay attention to it. But like, I wasn't on the clock when I was watching Super Saturday. I just wanted to watch the rugby, which is something that I hadn't really had cause to do before, but it's something that I'm excited to watch next year.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting, because I was trying to figure out, and I don't think there's a straightforward answer to it, but whether, you know, back-to-back success and Grand Slams is more likely to make people tune in to the following tournament, or whether massive moments like beating England in Twickenham, or Stuart McCluskey's NFL-style pass, or whatever it is, whether that's more exciting, whether that convinces people more to watch the tournament the following year. It's hard to know, because basically, speaking of drop goals, in 2018, according to the Teneo Sport and Sponsorship Index, the most memorable sporting moment by almost a third of the people surveyed said it was Johnny Sexton's drop goal to beat France in the 2018 Six Nations. But then it was slightly skewed in terms of what event they were most looking forward to the following year, because we had a Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
So that topped the charts. And then the Six Nations came third after the GAA Championship. But the team of the year was the Irish rugby team. Greatest sporting achievements, the top two were both Ireland. But it's slightly different because Ireland did win the Grand Slam that year as well. So you almost had both. You had this incredible moment and you had success.
The best of both worlds.
We were just riding high.
The kind of, to take it away from rugby very slightly for a second, and we're going to go on to touch about the football later on. But if back in November we had bet Hungary kind of like 2-0, easy game, both goals in the first half, parked the bus, had a very defensive second half and just kind of led it out to the conclusion, would there have been as much hype and excitement? Definitely not.
Definitely
a last
not.
Minute goal from Troy Parrott has just sent the country into a frenzy. So I feel like it is absolutely 100% moments which generate interest. It's that's why perhaps Ireland being so successful in the Six Nations the kind of past couple of years didn't really convince me to start watching as much. But when they won at Twickenham, I went, oh, I definitely want to tune in to Super Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Super Saturday. Super Sunday. I'm still in my football mode. Super Saturday, because this is a team that's is capable of playing very exciting rugby and I want to watch that.
Yeah, and it's on the football note, it's very clear there that the moment made the event. Like the Sport and Sponsorship Index for 2025, so this past one, the most memorable moment by over a third, miles higher than Johnny Sexton's drop goal, was Troy Parrott's 96th minute winner versus Hungary. And now, all of a sudden, the team of the year by a quarter, 25%, is the Republic of Ireland men's national team. They weren't even in the top five last year.
No,
or the year before, in 2024. Shells were fifth at 7%. The Irish men's national team were nowhere to be found. Now they're topping it with a quarter of the votes, all because of Troy Parrott's 96-minute winner. And what are people most looking forward to? The FIFA World Cup.
Yeah.
21%.
It's so incredible, because if you heard the discussions, if anyone is paying attention to the discussions around the men's national team leading up to that, the Portugal and Hunger Games, it's so negative. They're very classic, nothing ever good, nothing good ever happens, and we're shy. And you still get that attitude. It's really funny. We you chat to people and it goes, well, are you optimistic about us playing the Czech Republic next week? And it's like, ish. I don't know.
We can't be. That's so Irish yet again.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the same thing as Brian Ojisko was saying. It's like, we can't believe that we are that good.
Yeah.
That we are possibly belonging here.
Exactly. And yet, you know, something magical happened in November, that Hungary game. And it's... we have been able to carry that wave of excitement for like 4 months. And it's kind of snuck
That's
up
true.
On me. The fact that it's next week, I mean, is it this day week?
This
day week, I will be so nervous. It's going to be impossible to do anything that kind of day.
Well, we're going to the pub.
We are going to the pub, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to need...
Brona just eyed me up. You're invited.
You're invited, Brona.
But another, veering away from football briefly, another example of moments being massive is the fact that the most admired athlete... Number three, Troy Parrott is number two, actually behind Katie Taylor. I would have thought Troy Parrott would have topped it last year. Anyway, Katie Taylor is the GOAT. So.
Yes, that's true.
But third is Rory McIlroy and fourth is Shane Lowry. And we were talking about this before we came on. That is such an example of moments being bigger than necessarily success. Obviously, they came hand in hand with success, but nobody is paying attention to how many PGA championships Rory wins across the season, or
yeah,
across
exactly.
the years. And it wasn't even, I don't, obviously the fact that he won the Masters was massive because he finally completed, you know, career Grand Slam. Yeah. He got the monkey off the back. But I think it was more in the way it happened.
We like, love a kind of a last minute winner.
The playoff, the excitement, the stress, and then the fact that he held that putt. Suddenly, everybody loves Rory McIlroy. And not that we didn't before, but it just, it elevated it to a whole new level. And then same with Shane Lowry. Like, if they had won the Ryder Cup, you know, straight through how we thought they were going to after the first couple of days.
Yeah.
And it just had been an absolute wipeout. And Lowry had hit that final putt. And it was like, okay, we won.
Exactly. It would have been, oh, it's really cool that Lowry got the last putt to seal the deal. But now, because it was so tense.
So
and
tense.
Europe had performed
and we weren't sure
so
if we
badly.
Were gonna, yeah, and we weren't sure if we were going to win.
Yeah.
All of a sudden on that third day. And it was so, there was so much anxiety. And then he just did it.
The Irish sporting mentality of 2025 really just has been kind of sticking with it till the very last minute and never giving up. I kind of hadn't put it together in my mind. Well, very much so. Like you look at, obviously, Rory and Shane with the golf. You look at Troy Parrish and it's just this sense of it really isn't over until it's over. And I feel like that's a great attitude to have coming into the World Cup playoffs in terms of, yeah, we could go a goal or two down. The Czech Republic are a good team. But we have a squad that know how to, you know, get over the line, that know how to keep pushing. And I'm hoping that will kind of, hoping that will be the theme.
You're making me believe, which
week.
Is
I know,
which
I'm sorry.
So dangerous.
I know.
That was, I was in the Stade de France for the first game against France of the Six Nations with Andy Dunn. And
love Andy Dunn,
Andy
by the
Dunn
way.
Is a beautiful speaker.
Yes.
And on the radio, he convinced me, Owen, Fiona Hayes, I think, was in studio listening, and probably a nation, that we were going to win that game. We didn't. but hope is a dangerous thing.
It's a very dangerous thing.
But we were, speaking of moments and Troy Parrott and all of that, we were chatting to a football fan as well who kind of had a similar point of view, right?
Yes, this is Sean on his hopes for next week. We talk so much about Irish football, kind of about how we're not doing well. We have the chance now next week to do incredibly well. Aren't you excited for that?
Oh, of course, I'm excited, yeah. You know, great for the country. If you could get back to the stuff that was happening in the 90s, you know, early 2000s. But I think Troy Parrott scoring there in that game, you'd see the country all coming together when he did score, you know, giving us a chance. So, yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great for the country as a whole if Ireland could do well, you know.
So do you think that moment will still be as powerful even if we don't qualify?
I do think so, yeah. I think for the younger generation anyway, you know, they definitely look at it and say, something to look forward to, you know, because over the last, 15 years, absolutely nothing to look forward to. So, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Are you hopeful or not really?
I'd be hopeful, yeah, definitely hopeful. Definitely possible, because the sides we're facing wouldn't be great, you know. So, yeah, there's a good chance.
And are you hopeful Bose can do something in the league this year?
The league has won already.
I'm obsessed with the idea of being more confident about Bohemians winning the league than Ireland getting a result against Czech Republic. And he's already pretty confident about that.
Yeah, saying that the sides that we're facing are great is a bit of a stretch. But I like his optimism.
I do. I want to carry that wave. I want to go with that.
I do think it's interesting. Well, it's kind of a wait and see, but whether, as you said, Troy Parrott's moments of magic will be enough for the Irish men's national side to hold on to the love that they currently have if they don't qualify for a World Cup. Because I think it's, despite like, I do believe in the power of moments and there's plenty of examples of them, but I still think winning matters in that, like for the Six Nations, for example, we kind of tanked in 24, came third, really was quite disappointing, not a good tournament, and then going into this year, only 18% of people were looking forward to the Six Nations as a tournament.
Yeah.
Now that might be skewed because a lot of people were suddenly looking forward to the FIFA World Cup, but compared to the previous year where we had come off the back of retaining the Six Nations title, even though we didn't have Johnny Sexton anymore, Jack Crowley held on, it was his first kind of Six Nations in the ten shirt, and coming out of that, 30% of people were looking forward to the Six Nations the following year. So it kind of shows that despite the magic of moments, you still need to win to keep people on your side.
That's the thing. I feel like it's a double-edged sword. The magic of moments is great for, you know, as we said, this Irish mentality of sticking to the end, and great things can happen from it. But also it can be a kind of conciliatory, we didn't win the Six Nations. We had this great performance against England at Twickenham. This is great. You know, we can use it. I would rather Ireland play the worst quality football, park the bus, be so defensive and so conservative if it means we get a result on Thursday and we can go through to play another game to hopefully qualify for the World Cup. I don't care about pretty football. I don't care about moments. We've had that with Troy Parrott. I want to go to a World Cup. And at the end of the day, that's really, at this stage, all I care about. We've had this magic moment.
But will you lose your love a little bit for the team if they don't qualify?
No, because we had that magic moment. I would just be personally devastated because I want to go. I can't remember, I was like 6 months old the last time Ireland qualified for a World Cup. It wouldn't make me lose my love for the team, wouldn't make me lose any respect for the team. But at the same time, I don't care how they do it. I just want them to qualify.
Just get there.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll have to see what the Sports Survey Index says next year in the wake of this Six Nations where we didn't win but had a magical time.
Yes.
And a great tournament. How many people will be looking forward to it after
that?
I'll
be one of them. If anyone wants to survey me, I'll be there.
There you go. Let us know what you think. What is more important, moments or winning? Because I'm not sure we've quite decided, but yeah.
If we can have both, please.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for much, just everything.
All right. Well, that is it. You can get in touch with us on all the social channels. And what is our phone number, Eve?
It is 0879-180-180.
Thank you. I've been out of this seat for too long. And we'll be back next week with more Word on the Street.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.